Ah, yes, time for Musical Musers here, just about a minute before 9 o'clock, and it's brought to us by Globe Life Insurance and Mullen & Mullen Injury Law Firm. Well, it's my turn this week. I had some music I was going to play, but this happened this weekend, so I thought I would tell the story. You know, when you go somewhere and you run into someone and you think, okay, that person looks really familiar, or in this case, looks really familiar, or maybe they're famous. Well, a guy staying at our hotel had round sunglasses that he would wear indoors. He had a big knit hat. He had long hair that was tucked under his hat. He had a shirt that looked like it came from the 18th century. And he had these leopard pants that were pretty tight and boots.
Not Alice Cooper.
So he looked like a rock star. No, was not Alice Cooper. I knew that. He looked like just your generic rock star from the 70s or 80s. And the Catman of the Americas has just come in here because this guy, as it turns out, plays and has played, a founding member of this band that has been around for 40 years. Junior, I know you're never really into hair metal. Neither was I. Gordo might have been. At least he's familiar with some of the hair bands of the 80s.
Yeah, my brother was. So
okay, so I bet your brother knows who these
the TV.
Guys are. So I saw this guy in the hotel on, let's see, Saturday afternoon. I thought, man, you know what he kind of looked like? He kind of looked like Steve Perry. But he had long blonde hair that is, again, tucked under this knit cap, wearing sunglasses. He was almost giving off the vibe of, I want someone to recognize me.
You know? So I can tell them, please leave me alone.
Maybe. So I thought, okay, well, I'll probably never see him again. The place we went to dinner on Saturday night, there he was. He's like two tables away.
And Same outfit.
And our party group was... It was my wife and I and a couple that we're friends with, and they're like, yeah, gosh, he does look like Steve Perry, but it's not Steve Perry.
That would have been cool.
Yeah.
If you'd seen Steve Perry.
I hear is trying to come back, and I said, no, I don't think it's Steve Perry. We'll probably never see him again. So we go to our party. We come back. It's midnight Saturday, and there's this group's sitting in our lounge, including this guy. And I looked at him, I said, okay, I'm going to find out what's going on. And I said, hey, man, I'm sorry, but we just can't figure out who you are. There's been a guess that you're Steve Perry with a wig.
Did he know who Steve Perry was?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He said, yeah, I've gotten that before, man. And he goes, no. Before I tell you his name, let's play the band and see if Kat can name who this band
is.
Man,
my wheels have been spinning for the last 90 seconds.
Mm-hmm. They've toured with Kiss, Twisted Sister, any other hair metal band. They're described as glam rock.
Right.
And they've been around since 1984. Go ahead and... This is their biggest hit. It's called Fly High, Michelle. Apparently, they were ticked that they were classified as glam rock, that they saw themselves as a mixture of the Beatles and what's the other group from Illinois?
The Jackson 5.
Cheap Trick.
Were they Indiana?
I have never heard this in my life.
Okay, that is a little Beatlesy there.
Yeah, it's kind of Cheap Trickish too.
Wait. I have a really...
Rolling Stones said they were the next big thing in glam rock in 1988.
I have a really random, weird guess.
Okay.
It's Enough's Enough.
Yes!
You got that?
Enough? Hell yes!
How did
That's
you get that?
That's why he's the Catman of the Americas!
That is amazing.
So this was Chips Enough?
Yeah. And I had never heard of him, but The guy that I ran into was Chip Zenoff, their bass player, who is now, they've gone through about 30 members. They lost a drummer. Oh, did Ricky Parent used to play with another glam band.
I don't remember him.
And they lost a guitarist to an overdose.
Yeah.
And they were dropped by their record company because they declared bankruptcy.
Oh.
And they were always just kind of on the cusp of making it.
They have
on
another,
the Letterman show.
Yeah, this song I've never heard before, probably because it's a ballad. I definitely had
some
other.
What was their big hit?
Yeah, they had another hit that was more of a rockin' song.
All right, play the next one. This one was, they were trying to get this cranked up in the 90s. This is before Donnie V left as their lead singer. Now Chip is their lead singer. They're a three-piece band now.
Okay. Here's Chip's Enough. I found him on Instagram.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I thought that was Marge.
It looks a little like Marge.
This is them live on the Letterman show. Crank this up here.
This is Chip singing, or this is their other lead singer?
This is Donnie V before he left the band.
This guy's got a good voice.
I agree.
That was the giveaway.
Voice.
That was the giveaway. Definitely hear Cheap Trick in here.
Yeah. So now Chip, who was the bass player and backup singer, he now fronts the band. They still tour. He said they're coming to Texas here in the next couple of months. They've been around since 1984.
Yeah.
Chip said they put out 20 records. I have them at 17.
Dang.
But they've been around forever, and he is
slogging.
The one constant in this whole thing. He's still a part of it.
And the band was named after him.
Yeah.
How many bands are named after their bass player who's just not the lead singer? I mean, he is now, but...
His real name is Greg Rabirsky, or Rabarsky, but Chip Zenuff is much cooler. He does satellite radio now.
Dang.
So we talked radio for a while, and he goes, oh, yeah, man, I've heard of the Ticket. I'm just thinking he's heard of a ticket from, you know.
Yeah.
How many tickets are there now, Kat?
27. There's a few.
It probably wasn't ours.
So wait, current members, Chip Zenuff, Tori Stoffergen, Jason Herman, and Joe Corson. Past members, B.W. Boesky, Gino Martino, Pete Comida, Alex Kane, Derek Frigo, Vicky Fox, Ricky Parent, Donnie V, Johnny Nakato, Randy Scott, Eric Donner, Tony Fennell, Daniel B. Hill.
I told you. They're very Spinal Tappy. And he was telling me a little bit about their careers and everything. He was a really nice guy. But he had a really cool look to him that gave off the vibe of...
Yep.
Okay, and I'm not going to go down this path. Maybe this is for another segment because I haven't read the book yet. He's now married to a woman who has...
Of his own choosing.
Who has written a book on Great White and what happened to them.
The fire?
When they went up in flames. Yeah.
Hmm.
And I bought the book because they were... Because one of the other guys who was seated there said, hey, man, you like rock and roll? And I said, yeah, I like rock and roll. And I've been meaning to ask this guy who he is. Because I thought the book was about him, but it's not. It was about Great White.
Wow, you met Chip Zenuff.
See, I know the name Chip Zenuff more than I know any of their music.
Yeah. Really? So
I can picture that record that I had or listened to in my head. I know what the cover looks like. I remember it. And I don't know. Like I said, I didn't think... You guys were even going to know who they were. I thought I was coming from left field.
That's so impressive, Kat.
Thank you. Credibility.
You heard Fly High Michelle, which I think was their, at 123, was their highest charting hit, and you knew it.
Yeah.
So their first album came out in 89?
Thought it was, they've been around, probably. That's
they
about
formed,
right.
I guess, 84, and then they started putting out records about then. Late 80s, early 90s glam rock that went by the wayside. And it looked like maybe that was a timing thing for them, or maybe they weren't.
They hit a little bit too late.
A little too late because by 91
was about to hit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when grunge took over.
Yeah.
It says here in 2018, their album Diamond Boy reached 33 on the U.S. indie charts. That's their highest charting album
okay.
ever.
Hmm. Yeah, I was on Billboard. I think as high as they got was 123, but indie they've had a
single, but this was an album.
Yeah. Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So that's not bad,
enough
and that's fairly recently, 2018.
Yeah. And I'm sure there's people out there going, "Yeah, of course that's enough." N-U-F-F-Z-N-U-F-F. Yeah. Of course that's enough. Right.
We didn't have spell Z-nuff. Correct back in the day, and so...
Obviously.
Catman, that's so impressive.
Wow.
He can identify enough Z-nuff.
Can't get anything by him.
And Gordo knows who Chip Z-nuff is. And
yeah.
Interestingly
I knew the name
enough,
immediately.
Chip and I are pretty much best friends now. After our five-minute conversation in Milwaukee, I think we are.
Can we get him on the show?
Oh, yeah.
Like when they come through town, could we get him on the show?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's do it.
Yeah, he'll probably clean up around here if you give him a 20 or something like that.
Let's be nice to Chip. He was a really nice guy. All right, what's next in the corner? Way to go, Kat.
George tells us his Chip Zanuff story.
I just did.
Oh, you did? Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. I was looking at the wrong part.
Wrong script. It's right ahead of that. Yeah.
Are they good luck or bad luck? Next.
Pockets when he was brutally gunned down in 1947.
And because of that,
yes,
we all can't carry 50s.
Yeah.
Because some guy who is involved in organized crime was gunned down.
The internet says...
And it was definitely due to the fact that he had 50s in his pocket.
The internet says $50 bills are bad luck, period.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, the Michael
Full stop!
Punctuator there.
I hate all these stupid superstitions. I don't think I've ever been superstitious. I'll walk up under a ladder if a black cat
crosses my... The black cat doesn't freak you out just a little bit.
No.
That's the one that's always kind of freaking
out. If it crosses my path, I'm like, here, kitty, come here. Oh, look how he's cute. I love black cats.
I observe a lot of superstitions mainly because what's the downside?
Cue Roger Wicker. Yes. Yeah, because it's a waste of time to have to alter your... course, if you're walking up under a ladder,
not really.
Just walk up under it.
Not really.
If you get,
it takes 1 second to walk around the ladder as opposed to the possibility that you're bringing bad luck into your life.
If you get the number 13 at the bakery or the meat counter, you don't exchange numbers. It's fine.
I don't like that. By the way, it says that Vegas casinos and gamblers don't carry 50s because it's considered a jinx.
Boom.
It's so dumb.
It's fact.
It's stupid. Okay.
It's science.
$2 bills. According to this news article, there are 1.5 billion $2 bills in circulation.
Then why don't we ever see them?
That can't be right.
Never see them.
And even if they've mistaken it to $1.5 billion worth of $2 bills, I think that still sounds high.
Yeah.
But they first started making them in 1775, and I can't believe that they are still in circulation. Nobody uses the $2 bill. Why do we have it?
Didn't they $2 bill?
Didn't they try to make it come back in the 70s, 80s?
How do you make it come back?
They just tried. There was a campaign by the Treasury Department that tried to flood us with a lot of $2 bills, and because the one was getting less and less
the
valuable.
The stories you're telling, these are treasuries?
This is treasuries. I'm passing out. I'm gone.
What? For those just joining us.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
I'll look that up.
They did seem to market the $2 bill in the 70s somehow. They did.
Put that on a t-shirt.
I can't remember why.
Seem to market
they
the
did.
$2 bill in the 70s somehow.
I'm trying to support Craig. Daddy's got one. For what? Good luck?
No, it's just stripper money. Guarantee you that's stripper money. What do you use that $2 bill for?
I've had it in my wallet for probably 8-10 years.
See, there. That's the problem.
Good luck.
Is people carry them for good luck, and if you ever have to use one... The cashier thinks it's fake. I guarantee you that today's 18-year-old would think that's a fake piece of money because they weren't part of the big campaign in the 70s to make it come back somehow.
The last time I worked in a restaurant full time, which was about 6 years ago, I got a bunch of them one day. And I kept one, and all the guys in my kitchen staff bought the rest of them off me because they
wanted... For how much?
For $2
a piece.
Yeah.
Should have charged them $3
a
piece.
They were very much in the good luck category on those, and they wanted them. So I was like, all right, here.
What part of the staff was this?
Kitchen staff.
All right. I don't think they're good luck, and it does remind me of the story of...
70s when they tried to market
it? No, somehow. No, when... gosh, this is so bad. When we were young and in bands with Chip Zanuff, my brother got the coin collection. My grandfather gave him his coin collection. There are like silver certificates in there and all these rare bills and everything. But when we wanted to get some drive-through Mexican food, it's like, well, this is accepted American currency. So we're going in there and spending silver certificate dollars and cracking open plastic cases to get out these mint hundreds. You think that's sorry?
Yeah. But you don't fully understand it, I guess, as kids.
It meant nothing to us. We weren't into coins and bills and all that kind of thing. We
were into tacos.
Yeah, drive-through Mexican food. That's what we were into.
Tostadas.
What they got on the dollar menu. I want to get my gordita on.
To kind of support,
and I know we spent a few $2 bills in that time.
Sure.
To kind of support my claim about them promoting the $2 bill in the 70s,
was that a drop just then, or did you just actually say that?
In 1975, the Secretary of the Treasury, William E. Simon, announced the reissuance of the $2 note as a cost-saving measure.
What? See?
The new $2 notes would be available from banks starting in April of 1976. And they started printing a lot more of them. So see, they did start to promote them again in the 70s. I knew that.
Mm-hmm. Why is it a cost-saving measure? They cost twice as much as a dollar bill.
It says here, somehow they are.
Do you know that bills are not actually made of paper? It's cloth. I heard
is
that
it?
Once. That's what I heard. Hemp? That it's made of like more cotton. It's cotton fibers rather than paper plant.
Okay.
Plant trees.
25% linen, 75% cotton.
Linen, that's what I'm thinking of. And the other half is McCartney.
Oh.
Is that right? Or is it Chips Enough?
Well, it's not split in halves. It's 25% linen, 75% cotton.
The other's cotton.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
It's the ghost of John Lennon telling us what dollar bills are made out of. I'm insane now.
There were three different shows going on in that last minute.
Good luck.
That was amazing.
It's like George riding in the back of a ride chair. Got two different shows happening at once here. Giorgio Quinn has a comment about your rideshare experience that you shared in 8:15 today. Mm-hmm. You did not give either of those two drivers a bad rating.
No.
Because
the first one, it was totally my fault. I sent us to the wrong location, but why we couldn't stop and go back to the hotel, I can't explain why.
That's on the driver, that part,
yes.
Right?
But maybe I was using the app wrong. I put a new address in there, said change, and I put change, and I put the new stop in there.
But the second guy who rode with his seat way reclined and
that was
blaring
him.
Music with the windows down on the highway.
Well, his AC was out.
His AC was out.
Because he had all four windows down.
Well, Quinn says that he is a rideshare driver. I won't mention his company. In his spare time. Junior, you brought up that you won't give bad ratings because you're afraid they'll give you a bad rating.
Yeah.
And if they give you a bad rating,
then you
won't get picked up. Anyway, he says that he's a rideshare driver in his spare time. And they do customer ratings at the end of each trip. But there's no way to tell what the passenger has rated them. So if someone does give him a bad rating, the company won't tell them who the passenger was.
I don't know if I believe that. He's a part of Big Rideshare.
He said, I had a passenger report that I had an accident with them in the car. By the way, none of this happened, he says. And they tried to file a claim against me and my insurance company, and I wanted to know who the person was to protect myself, and they wouldn't even tell him then. So they protect the passengers.
Okay.
Anonymity. So you can leave bad reviews now with impunity.
Okay. I still feel but bad just don't about put that. They're identifying trying to make a living. And
I know. I agree with you, George. I've been there so many times where somebody deserves a bad report or a bad review, and I don't give it either because I'm like, well, I mean, they're trying to make a living, and they make a living by mistreating their customers. That's just the way they do things, and maybe I'm not respecting that. And,
yeah, maybe they shouldn't be doing that.
Right. And if we'd all be honest in our feedback, imagine if we were all honest in our feedback all the time in our lives. Yeah, sweetie, that dress does make you look fat.
That'd be like the Jim Carrey movie Liar Liar, where he couldn't tell the truth. Yeah.
I never saw it.
I mean, he
could never tell a lie.
Sorry, he only told the truth.
Is it good?
Yeah.
It's really funny.
Yeah.
Really funny. Every thought he has about someone comes out.
Puts his hand over his mouth.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I'll have to watch that. You guys think that $2 bills are good luck or bad luck?
Bad.
Really?
I think a 50 is bad luck.
Oh, it's too good?
A 2, I think, is fine. I don't think it's either.
A 2 is supposed to be good luck.
Oh.
And a 50 is supposed to be bad luck, and I'm not sure why. Is it because, like, Billy the Kid was shot dead while he held a $50 bill?
Yeah, it's something like that. I remember Grego always told me, never carry a 50 in your wallet.
That's right.
Because it's considered the dead man's hand, or what?
Well, let me find it. It has something to do with, somebody... Okay, Bugsy Siegel was rumored to have died with only $50 bills in his pockets when he was brutally gunned down in 1947.
And because of that,
we all
can't carry 50s. Because some guy who is involved in organized crime was gunned down.
The internet says...
And it was definitely due to the fact that he had 50s in his pocket.
The internet says $50 bills are bad luck, period.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, the Michael
Full stop!
Punctuator there.
I hate all these stupid superstitions. I don't think I've ever been superstitious. I'll walk up under a ladder. If a black cat
crosses my path, just a little bit.
No.
That's the one that's always kind of freaky.
If it crosses my path, I'm like, here, kitty, come here. Oh, look how he's cute. I love black cats.
I observe a lot of superstitions mainly because what's the downside?
Cue Roger Wicker. Yes. Yeah, because it's a waste of time to have to alter your course if you're walking up under a ladder.
Not really.
Just walk up under it.
Not really.
If you get,
it takes 1 second to walk around the ladder as opposed to the possibility that you're bringing bad luck into your life.
If you get the number 13 at the bakery or the meat counter, you don't exchange numbers. It's fine.
I don't like that. By the way, it says that Vegas casinos and gamblers don't carry 50s because it's considered a jinx.
Boom.
It's so dumb.
It's fact.
It's stupid. Okay.
It's science.
$2 bills. According to this news article, there are 1.5 billion $2 bills in circulation.
Then why don't we ever see them?
That can't be right.
Never see them.
And even if they've mistaken it to $1.5 billion worth of $2 bills, I think that still sounds high.
Yeah.
But they first started making them in 1775, and I can't believe that they are still in circulation. Nobody uses the $2 bill. Why do we have it?
Didn't they $2 bill?
Didn't they try to make it come back in the 70s, 80s?
How do you make it come back?
They just tried. There was a campaign by the Treasury Department that tried to flood us with a lot of $2 bills, and because the one was getting less and less
valuable. The stories you're telling, these are treasuries?
This is treasuries. I'm passing out. I'm gone.
What? For those just joining us.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
I'll look that up.
They did seem to market the $2 bill in the 70s somehow. They did.
Put that on a t-shirt.
They
did seem to market the $2 bill in the 70s somehow.
We're trying to support Craig. Daddy's got one. For what? Good luck?
No, it's stripper money. Guarantee you that's stripper money. What do you use that $2 bill for?
I've had it in my wallet for probably 18 10 years.
See, there, that's the problem.
Good luck.
Is people carry them for good luck, and if you ever have to use one, the cashier thinks it's fake. I guarantee you that today's 18-year-old would think that's a fake piece of money because they weren't part of the big campaign in the 70s to make it come back somehow.
The last time I worked in a restaurant full-time, which was about 6 years ago, I won as a server. I got a bunch of them one day, and I kept one, and all the guys in my kitchen staff bought the rest of them off me because they
wanted... For how much?
For $2
a piece.
Yeah.
Should have charged them $3 a piece.
They were very much in the good luck category on those, and they wanted them. So I was like, all right, here.
What part of the staff was this?
Kitchen staff.
All right. I don't think they're good luck, and it does remind me of the story of...
70s when they tried to market
them? No, somehow. No, when... gosh, this is so bad. When we were young and in bands with Chips Enough, my brother got the coin collection. My grandfather gave him his coin collection. There are like silver certificates in there and all these rare bills and everything. But when we wanted to get some drive-through Mexican food, it's like, well, this is accepted American currency. So we're going in there and spending silver certificate dollars and cracking open plastic cases to get out these mint hundreds. You think that's sorry?
Yeah, but you don't fully understand it, I guess, as kids.
It meant nothing to us. We weren't into coins and bills and all that kind of thing. We
were
into
tacos.
Yeah, drive-through Mexican food. That's what we were into.
Tostadas.
What they got on the dollar menu. I want to get my gordita on.
To kind of support,
and I know we spent a few $2 bills in that time.
Sure.
To kind of support my claim about them promoting the $2 bill in the 70s, in 1970,
was that a drop just in, or did you just actually say that?
In 1975, the Secretary of the Treasury, William E. Simon, announced the reissuance of the $2 note as a cost-saving measure.
What? See?
The new $2 notes would be available from banks starting in April of 1976. And they started printing a lot more of them. So see, they did start to promote them again in the 70s. I knew that.
Mm-hmm. Why is it a cost-saving measure? They cost twice as much as a dollar bill.
It says here, somehow they are.
Do you know that bills are not actually made of paper? It's cloth. I heard
is
that
it?
Once. That's what I heard. Yep. That it's made of, like, more cotton. It's cotton fibers rather than paper plant.
Okay.
Plant trees.
25% linen, 75% cotton.
Linen, that's what I'm thinking of. And the other half is McCartney. Oh. Is that right? Or is it Chips Enough?
Well, it's not split in halves. It's 25% linen, 75% cotton.
The other's cotton.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
It's the ghost of John Lennon telling us what dollar bills are made out of. I'm insane now.
There were three different shows going on in that last minute.
Good luck.
That was amazing.
It's like George riding in the back of a ride chair. Got two different shows happening at once here.